Blog Talk Radio.
Dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. I want to welcome all of my dear precious brothers and sisters to this broadcast, because this is part eight in a series that I'm doing to show you, dear saints of God, how biblically stupid and how spiritually dangerous Jensen Franklin really is. Now, if you go to YouTube, you'll find Jensen Franklin's sermon, Jezebel's Children. You'll find that sermon, and it's about 30 minutes long, 40 minutes long, depending on the version that you find on YouTube. I'm using the 106-minute version of the video to do my forensic analysis, but it's really his sermon is a little over a half hour. And my brothers and sisters, I have already done eight shows that average an hour. I've done eight shows. That means I've done 8 hours to undo the half hour of Jensen Franklin's Doctrine of Dimwits teaching. And I'm not finished. This guy is such a bad teacher. And he's bad because he doesn't know the Bible. That's why he's bad. He claims to know the Bible. He sounds like he knows the Bible. But listen, if you were working in a bank, if you were working in a bank and you were a bank teller, and someone came up to you and they wanted to make a deposit in their savings account and checking account, and they were giving you a stack of $100 bills, it behooves you to make sure that those $100 bills are real before you receive that person's deposit and say, hey, this person deposited $10,000 in cash today. It behooves you because it'll be the bank's loss if you as a bank teller can't tell counterfeit bills from real bills. And I'm here to tell you that Jensen Franklin's gospel is counterfeit. His teaching is bogus. He's a false teacher extraordinaire. Listen, this guy has over a quarter of a million views on his sermon, Jezebel's Children, a quarter of a million views. That means that there's a quarter of a million people drinking his Kool-Aid. Jensen, if you don't like what I'm saying, I know you're not studying tonight because you never study. The number here is area code 516-418-5978. Again, Jensen, stick your head out of the sand and grab your cell phone and call me here at 516-418-5978 because you have a lot of explaining to do, Mr. Franklin, a lot of explaining to do. Well, he preached a sermon back in July called Jezebel's Children, and I told you that this sermon was based on five faulty interpretation pillars. His whole sermon stands on five interpretation pillars, which I am telling you, they're faulty. They're erroneous. Now, he's gonna tell you the opposite. He's going to tell, oh, no, my pillars are solid as a rock. But I'm here to tell you they are not solid. They're quite erroneous. And so let's go to the outline. Now, your outline today has a brown heading, a brown heading. Remember, I color code everything for you. I color code. So it has a brown heading, and the outline should read broadcast number 224. This is part 8, and the broadcast date is December the 14th, 2019. Again, brown heading. Broadcast number 224. This is part 8. Broadcast date 12/14/2019. And if you see a tree there, a theology tree, an elemental theology tree, and the page number is page 20, you are at the right spot. And the reason why we have to go through this each and every broadcast is because I send you a bulk series of outlines. And I want you to be at where you need to be when we start the study. So, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to prove to you again. And what we're doing today is we're taking the sledgehammer of truth to that second pillar. We've already destroyed the first pillar. We've already obliterated the first pillar. I'm in the process of obliterating pillar number 2. That's what I'm in the process of. And like I told you, this is going to be our 8th broadcast on a 30-minute sermon. And I tell you, it takes more work to undo a Doctrines of Dimwit sermon than you can imagine. So let's look at faulty pillar number 2. And while you're doing that, while you're getting yourself to page number 20 in the outline, I would just want to remind everyone that you need to listen to all of the broadcasts. If you are joining me today for the first time in broadcast number 8, it behooves you to go back to number 1, broadcast 1, broadcast 2, Don't take any shortcuts. If you take shortcuts, you're not going to really know what it is we're talking about. And for those of you who have been with me since the beginning, you know what a blessing this has been, because all of these broadcasts are interconnected. You will never be lost if you follow me the way I tell you to follow me, and that's you follow me from the beginning. You start at broadcast number one, and all of these broadcasts connect you to the next broadcast. That's the way I teach. And it's easy to follow me because I give you an outline. And it's easy to follow because I don't overfeed you. I just give you enough so that you can ponder the teaching of that particular day. I'm basically spoon-feeding people because in many of our churches, God's people have been dumbed down. I can't give them too much. I can't give them a three-hour broadcast. It's just too much. I got to give it to you in piecemeal. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the way I've been led to do it. Because when I talk to a lot of saints, they have no clue what it is that I'm talking about because they've gone to these crazy churches where all they talk about is this demon, that and this spirit and that spirit. And they have really no Bible knowledge. Really no Bible knowledge. All right, so we're looking at broadcast number two, and please, once again, just take your time, force yourself to listen to all the broadcasts, and when you listen to all the broadcasts, look at the outline that pertains that broadcast. Follow me with the outline that pertains that broadcast, and you're going to see, my brothers and sisters, at the end of the series, and I don't know how long the series will be, it'll probably be... It could be a 20-part series. It could be a 25-part series. It could be a 30. I don't know. We're just going to keep going until we destroy all five pillars, until we obliterate all five of Jensen Franklin's faulty interpretation pillars. They need to be demolished in order for me to prove to you that this guy is completely biblically and theologically clueless. The guy is clueless. He should not be preaching. He is a dum-dum extraordinaire, a biblical dum-dum extraordinaire. He is a theological moron. I'm telling you. If I had him in my first year theology class, I would have to dismiss him. I would have to tell him, I can't teach you. I just can't do it. All right, saints. So faulty interpretation pillar number two reads like this. Franklin claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit transitioned into a demonic existence. This is what he claims. This is what the man claims. Franklin claims, and you're going to hear it when I play his audio, Franklin claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit transitioned into a demonic existence. Now, I have here for you an elemental theology tree. This is the tree that I used to use when I was a pastor and I was teaching my church members. I taught them Elemental Theology 1, and we used a certain textbook for that class. And then I taught them Elemental Theology 2, and we used a certain textbook for that class. And then we used Elemental Theology 3, and I did this all in 1 year. I would take Sunday school, and I would take I would do it like they do in Bible colleges. We would have a fall semester, and I would teach from September to December. I taught Elemental Theology 1. Then from January till May, I taught Elemental Theology 2. And then June, July, August, I taught Elemental Theology 3, and when I was pastoring. And we used three different textbooks, nice size, hardcover textbooks. Everybody was required to purchase their textbook and come to class with their Bibles, and I was teaching my church members like if they were going to Bible college. And we taught them it's not advanced theology, it's not intermediate theology, it's elemental theology. And for this little course that this year-long course, I had this little tree drawn. This is a theology tree, and on this tree you have these branches. For example, Christology is the doctrine of Christ. Pneumatology is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Eschatology is the doctrine of last things. Soteriology is the doctrine of salvation. Ecclesiology is the doctrine of the church. Bibliology is the doctrine of the Bible. Harmatheology is the doctrine of sin. Anthropology is the doctrine of man. Angelology is the doctrine of angels, and theology proper is the doctrine of God. So those are the branches. And, of course, there are offshoots to these branches. And as I was teaching, I would tell my church members, okay, now we're here at angelology, and you need to draw two additional branches that come out of angelology. One of those branches is Satanology. Another branch is demonology. Because after the fall of angels, because originally there was one branch, angelology. All angels were good. But when Satan rebelled, then there was a branch called Satanology. And when angels followed Satan in his rebellion, then you had another branch that shot out, which was called demonology. So you see, as you went along throughout Bible history, you had these certain offshoots to these different branches, and it was a wonderful series of studies. And my church members were little scholars, and nobody could hoodwink them, and nobody could deceive them, and nobody could trick them, because it was my job as their pastor to give them sound doctrine and to prepare them to serve Christ in their local communities and on their jobs. So this is the theology tree, and today I want to focus on two branches as we're dealing with Jezebel, and one of those branches is anthropology. Anthropology, again, is the biblical doctrine of man, and harmatheology is the biblical doctrine of sin. So please note, let's look again at faulty pillar number two. Franklin claims that at death, now how do we know why death is in our world? Well, the Bible says the wages of sin, there you go, harmatheology. Harmatheology is the doctrine of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. So Franklin claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel, who was wicked and a sinner extraordinaire, may I add, one given over to much witchcraft and much whoredom, Franklin claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit transitioned into a demonic existence. Now, my brothers and sisters, we have a problem. We have a problem because you can see that there's a branch called anthropology. That's the doctrine of man. And then underneath that branch of anthropology, there's another one called angelology. That's the doctrine of angels or Satan or demons, with those two additional offshoots. So Jensen Franklin claims that when Jezebel died, she got off of the anthropology branch and joined the angelology branch. Well, that is just asinine. That's just stupid. That's just impossible. Because, as I was telling you yesterday, no human being can reincarnate and come into a future existence being something else. We don't believe, Christians don't believe in reincarnation. Why don't we believe in reincarnation? Because the Bible doesn't teach it. God doesn't teach it. But Jensen Franklin does. No, my brothers and sisters, if you are an angel, you will remain an angel. And if you are man, you're going to remain a man. This is why, for those out there who promise that you're going to become a little God, again, that also is stupid. Why? Because you see the theology proper branch? Each branch speaks of a separate entity. Theology proper speaks of God. Angelology speaks of angels. And anthropology speaks of man. My brothers and sisters, we shall forever be separated. This is why when Satan told Adam and Eve, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil, that's a lie. We're never going to become God. It's impossible. And that's why this little diagram, this little tree, is so important. It's simple. It's a simple little diagram. It's a simple little drawing. It's a little simple picture, but you can see how it is impossible for you to jump from one branch and join another branch. It's impossible. It's impossible. All right? Okay. So now we're going to be looking at anthropology and Harmar theology. We're going to be looking at the doctrine of man and the doctrine of sin. And what does sin lead to? It leads to death. God said to Adam, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. So Jensen Franklin wants us to believe that Jezebel started being a descendant of the human race, but some way, somehow, in the afterlife, she transitioned, and not only transitioned, but she had an upgrade. She went from human to angel. That's a major upgrade, because angels are superior to man, just as God is superior to angels and man. Remember, my brothers and sisters, we don't minister to angels. Angels are ministering spirits to us. They help us. We can't help angels. They help us. They come to our rescue, like the angel did to Daniel in the lion's den, like the angel did to Peter when Peter was in jail, like the angel did for Paul when he was on the ship in the middle of the storm, and the angel said to Paul, be of good cheer, for neither you nor anyone on this ship will suffer the loss of life. You see, my brothers and sisters, we never minister to angels. Angels always minister to us, and that proves on so many different levels that they are superior to us in knowledge and in strength and even in assignment. So, let's listen to Mr. Jensen Franklin as you scroll down. I want you to scroll down to page number 21, the letter A, anthropology, even before we read that. Let's listen to Mr. Franklin, because I need to remind you that he does claim that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit transitioned into demonic existence. Again, a fairy tale, a bad one at that. All right, let's listen to Mr. Franklin. And by the way, I got an email and someone asked me, why do you keep playing his sermon? Well, I keep playing his sermon because if I told people that Jensen Franklin said what I claim he said, they wouldn't believe me. So I play his sermon so that people can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is Jensen Franklin speaking and that he did say such idiotic, stupid, and asinine things. Here is Jensen Franklin, and you got to pay attention because on numerous occasions he tells you that Jezebel became a spirit. Let's listen.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I don't have time to read that. Verse 18. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really.
You see, I have to stop him there because he says, well, Jesus is referring to a woman here named Jezebel, but it's saints, it's not a woman. It's really a spirit. Saints, it's really a spirit. Well, if you listen to the previous broadcast, I demolished that pillar. Because, no, it is a woman. It's not a spirit. It's a woman and not a spirit. It's not a fallen angel. It's not a demon. It's not the Jezebel spirit, as so many people out there say. You have the Delilah spirit out there. You have the Ahab spirit. You have the Leviathan spirit. You have the Solomon spirit. You name it. You name it. They got spirits for everything out there. It so happens that Jensen Franklin's talking about the Jezebel spirit. So he tells his church members, he says, first of all, ladies, relax. I'm not talking about women because really the text is not referring to a woman. It's referring to a spirit. Well, that's not true. Here's more.
Who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself compliments, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there's certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in, I promise this is going to hit you right where you live in. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation.
You see, so he says, listen, the Jezebel of the Book of Kings was really a woman. And that woman was married, she was a queen, and she was married to Ahab, king of Israel. And then she died. And even though she's been dead 1,500 or 1,800 years, she's very much alive today in spirit form. In other words, she transitioned from anthropos, from a human. She went from human being to fallen angel. But as I shared with you before, if you look at the theology tree, you just can't jump from one branch to another. It don't work like that. Now, in his kooky mind, in his dim-witted, half-witted, nit-witted mind, it works that way, but not in the Bible. No, it does not. You can't go, listen, you can't hopscotch. You can't go from being a cow and dying to coming back as Marilyn Monroe. No, it don't work that way. You can't go because he's talking about an upgrade. Again, no human can reappear as an angel. That's an upgrade. So that would be the same thing like a rhinoceros dying and then coming back, reincarnating or transitioning into a different existence, but now they come back in human form and they're Elizabeth Taylor. It don't work that way. It does. You cannot hop from branch to branch. This is asinine talk. Again, like I told you before, Jensen Franklin is a pan-demonist. Jensen Franklin is a person who, in his mind, he sees demons everywhere. I wrote about this extensively in the trilogy that you can have, dear listener. You can have a trilogy that I wrote. Over 450 pages, over 700-plus footnotes, over 30 chapters. It's called Spirit of Python Dunce, Volume 1, Spirit of Python Ignoramus, Volume 2, Spirit of Python Retard, Volume 3. And I actually show how Jensen Franklin had a downgrade. He went from dunce, went down to ignoramus, and from ignoramus went down a little further to retard, and now he 6 years later, after writing his book, The Spirit of Python, he has gone further down, and now he's a super-duper retard, claiming that Jezebel, Ahab's wife, transitioned into a spirit, a demon, a she-devil, if you will. Impossible. I want to play that little clip again. Just a little bit. I'm just going to play a little bit because I want you to hear how she dies. And although she's been dead for 1,500, she's alive now in this generation as a spirit. Listen to this.
Married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead For over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead. Her spirit was very much alive in a new generation.
She was dead. Her body was dead. But her spirit is alive in a new generation. And by spirit, he doesn't mean a human spirit. He's talking about an influential, malevolent spirit. Because he claims that in this new demon existence that Jezebel has, she's even having little baby demons. Only a demon, only a she-demon, can have little baby demons. Again, I don't know, in my community where I live, men don't have babies. Men don't have babies. It's women that have babies. So now Jezebel, this Jezebel that he's talking about, he's going to claim now that she's got baby demons running around. She's giving birth to them, and they're growing up right in our midst, these little baby demons. So let's listen, because there's no ambiguity that he's talking about a demonette, a female demon, giving birth to demon babies. Let's continue to listen.
And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things, and if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive, even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts.
When people heard him say that, they should have called a paddy wagon. They should have ordered up a straitjacket. They should have walked him off the platform. They should have put the straitjacket on him. They should have injected him with a sedative and taken him off to a rubber room, to some asylum, to some nut house, where he could be, where I could talk him down from this foolishness. This is what he claims. So once again, let's go back to faulty interpretation pillar number two. He claims, Franklin claims, let's go back to page 20, and let's reread faulty interpretation pillar number two, to which I am taking today the sledgehammer of truth. He claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit transitioned into demonic existence. That's what I hear him saying. Okay, so now, let's look at anthropology. What's anthropology? And of course, listen, my brothers and sisters, this is not designed to be an exhaustive course. I am not your pastor teaching you on a weekly basis elemental theology. I am not doing that. I'm just taking this sermon and forensically dissecting it to show you why it's so pitiful, why it's a pitiful sermon full of doctrines of demons and doctrines of dimwits. This is not an exhaustive study on anthropology. This is just superficial talk. We're not getting in depth here. We're not getting in depth. Okay. What is anthropology? Anthropology is the biblical doctrine of man. And here I am quoting Ernest S. Williams. He happens to be a Pentecostal theologian from the Assemblies of God. Ernest S. Williams was a Pentecostal like me, because don't accuse me of being Baptist or Presbyterian. Oh, this Baptist preacher, he's just trying to beat up on Pastor Franklin because Pastor Franklin's Pentecostal. No, I'm Pentecostal. I told you he is retard-costal. He's a retard. Acting and claiming to be a Pentecostal, he is a retard-costal. I'm a Pentecostal. Ernest S. Williams was Pentecostal. I'm quoting Ernest S. Williams' book, and he writes, "The Biblical Doctrine of Man, that branch, anthropology, is that branch of theological science." That branch of what? Theological science. This is not Twilight Zone talk. We're not filming an episode of the Outer Limits television broadcast. This is not Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Anthropology is that branch of theological science which treats man both in his original and his fallen condition. It embraces the consideration of man's creation, his primitive condition, his probation and apostasy, original sin and actual transgression. By probation, he means the test of character, approving, and by apostasy means a desertion of one's faith and principles. So now, in the Bible, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, and Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, you will find man's origin. So let us go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go there. Let's read the text. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his image. In his own image created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you to man every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which it is fruit of a tree yielding seed, and it shall be meat for you." That's the origin of man, in addition to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now look at verse number 7. "And the Lord formed man out of one." He formed his body out of the dust of the ground. That's why I give you a little picture there where you can see God making man out of the dust of the ground. He formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? A living soul. So now, we move from man's origin very quickly. Now, this, again, superficial, just a plain mention. We're not getting in deep here. It's just a mention. Okay. Now we want to go to man's nature. And you're saying, "But brother, what does this have to do? What does this have to do, brother, with Jensen Franklin's sermon, Jezebel's Children?" It has everything to do. Everything. And this is why you people get conned. This is because you're so impatient. You just want to hear sermons that will tickle your itching ears. You don't want to sit under teaching. You're allergic to teaching, just like Jensen Franklin, who's allergic to books. but it's the pastor's responsibility to teach his people the Word of God. All right. Now, man's nature is tripart. With tripart creatures. Tripart. There's three elements to man. Three things that make up man. Okay? Again, let's read Genesis 2:7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground." That's his body. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's spirit. And man became a living soul. That's soul. No, look at the diagram here. Look at this circular diagram. And you'll see that man is made up of three parts. The soul, where you have the mind, the emotions, the will. This speaks of the psychological aspect of man. Then you have the spirit, intuition, conscience, communication. This is where he communicates with God in prayer. This is the spiritual part of man. So you have the soul, which equals a psychological, and you have the spirit that emphasizes the spiritual, and then you have the body, where he has his senses, smell, feel, taste, hear, sight, and this is the physiological. It's with your, you see, with your body, you come into contact with the physiological part of the universe. You come into contact with trees and plants and water. You see? So you have a soul, you have a spirit, you have a body. Now, that's based on Genesis 2:7. But also, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And when God saves a Christian, God sanctifies these three aspects of each believer. It says here, Paul is closing out his first epistle to the Thessalonian believers, and he said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." W-H-O-L-L-Y. That means completely. You notice? In order for you to be complete, you have to have your soul sanctified, you got to have your spirit sanctified, and you got to have your body sanctified. If all you have sanctified is your body, but not your soul and your spirit, you're not sanctified wholly. You're not complete. To be whole, W-H-O-L-E, is to be complete. Man is three-thirds components. So notice, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So notice, man is tripart. Go with me now to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. And this speaks of the preacher. Who's using the word of God to preach and to teach. And this is what the author of Hebrews says that the word of God can do. He says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow." Notice, my dear brothers and sisters, hear the word of God. The word of God, when the preacher is preaching and you are being affected, when the word of God is properly being preached and the word of God is properly anointed, my goodness, that word of God goes in like a scalpel. It goes right in. It cuts through the, it divides the soul and the body and the spirit, and it performs its work in a supernatural manner. But notice, he says here, "piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow." Aren't you made up of joints and marrow? Aren't you made up of arteries and tendons? Aren't you, my dear brothers and sisters, So please note that man's nature is tripart. We have a record of man's origin, and in this record of man's origin, we're told that man is tripart. And in case you doubt that, go to other portions of Scripture, and you're told that man is what? Tripart. Now, the interesting thing about man being tripart is that only one of his parts is visible, and the other two parts are invisible. One part is material, and the other two parts are immaterial. In other words, the part of man that is visible is his body. The two parts of man that you never see with the naked eye are the soul and spirit. So you have one visible part, the body. You have two invisible parts, the soul and spirit. Then you have one material part, the body. See, it's with the body that I pick up my Bible, because my body's material and the Bible's material. So I pick up my chicken leg with my hand. I pick up my fork when I'm having dinner, because there's one part of my body that God gave me that helps me function in the material world. The material world. But there is an immaterial world. There's a spirit world. And for that spirit world, God gave me two immaterial parts. Two parts in which I can come into contact with the spirit world. The God world, if you will. That's my soul and my spirit. You see why these classes are so important? Okay. So now, let's scroll down to page number 22. Let's scroll down to page number 22, and let's look at Harmar theology. Harmar theology is the doctrine of sin. And Wayne, and the great scholar Wayne Detzler, the Greek scholar, tells us this concerning the biblical doctrine of sin. The basic general word which refers to sin in the New Testament is harmathia. This word is reflected in the theological study of sin, sometimes called harmatheology. So here you have Adam and Eve, they're by the tree, and there you have the serpent wrapped around the tree, and Adam and Eve have covered themselves because they have already sinned against God. Okay. We're on page 22. I want to read man's ruin. As a result of man's ruin, there is spiritual and physical death. This refers to the fall. Reading from Lewis Berry Schaefer's Systematic Theology, this is what he says. Fall or lapse of the first man, Adam, must be contemplated in the light of that which preceded it. What preceded man's fall? Innocence. God made man good, and he was living innocently in the garden. But then came the tempter, and then came the temptation, and that which followed it, spiritual death and depravity of those who sinned, spiritual death and depravity of the race. And as a result of spiritual death and depravity of the race came physical death. Now, let's read again, man's spiritual death and depravity. This, again, Lewis Berry Schaefer. He writes on page 217 of his Systematic Theology, Volume 2. He writes, when Adam sinned, his first sin, he experienced a conversion downwards. Notice, what did he experience? A conversion downwards. He became degenerate and depraved. He developed within himself a fallen nature which is contrary to God and is ever prone to evil. His constitution was altered fundamentally and thus became a wholly different being from the one God had created. No other human being than Adam ever became a sinner by sinning. All others were born sinners. So Adam introduced sin according to Romans chapter 5. In fact, let's go to Romans chapter 5 And you may want to add the scripture there to your notes, Romans chapter 5. And let me read to you from Romans chapter 5. It says in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for all have sinned." So who opened the door? Who opened the door to sin? Adam did. And when he opened the door to sin, he opened the door to death. So now we have spiritual death and our spiritual depravity. But spiritual death ultimately flourishes and becomes physical death. Physical death. All right. So here's physical death. I have a picture here of a woman and what's leaving her body, her soul and spirit. That's the woman lying down there on the floor. That's her body. But you can see her soul / spirit leaving her body. Okay. Man's physical death. Again, we refer to Lewis Berry Schaefer, and he says, what is death? What is physical death? Physical death is the separation of soul and spirit from the body, which experience is termed physical death and is in no way comparable to spiritual death, though they both originate in the first sin of the first man. Spiritual death and physical death are two different things. Physical death means that a separation takes place. When you look at someone in the casket, when you go to a funeral parlor and you're viewing the body's in the casket, you know that that person is not looking at you, can't talk to you, can't hear you. Why? Because their spirit and soul has detached itself, has become separated from the body. That's physical death. Spiritual death is when we are alive, yet we're spiritually separated and alienated and cut off from a life with God. There are so many people today who walk this earth who are physically alive, but they're spiritually dead because they have no relationship with God. None whatsoever. They are not born again. Now, what is death? Well, death is a permanent sensation. A permanent cessation. What is cessation? When something ends, that when something ceases, a permanent, not a temporary, but death is a permanent cessation of all vital functions, the end of life. In theology, there are two deaths, one physical death and two spiritual death, the final state of the wicked, and eternal death, or the eternal punishment in hell. Revelation 2:11, Revelation 26:14, and Revelation 21:18. Christians are also mortal. They die the first or physical death, but because they die in Christ, they inherit eternal life. And there you have your scriptures. So, when we think of Jezebel, when we think of Ahab's wife, when we think of Ahab's wife, we have to conclude that when she died, and remember I gave you the picture of when the horses were trampling her body, as it is recorded and documented in 2 Kings chapter 9. Remember when Jehu said, "Who is with me? Who is with me?" And the eunuchs looked out the window, and he told the eunuchs to throw her out the window, and the three eunuchs took Jezebel, and they flung her out the window, and as she was coming down, as the force of gravity was dragging her down, her body hit the wall several times, and there was blood splatter everywhere. Then Jehu took his chariot and horses and ran over her body and turned her into ground beef. And when he had finished turning her body into ground beef, as his chariot wheels and his horse's hooves went over her body, then the dogs followed up and they ate her body. When Jezebel died, her body, her mutilated body, was lying on the ground and the dogs were chewing on it, but her spirit and soul was leaving her body. That's what we call physical death. That happened to Jezebel. Now, in tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to show you that it is impossible for Jezebel's body to be on earth, because you know that the dogs ate Jezebel, and then the Bible says that the dogs pooped out Jezebel. Listen, the dogs ate her, and God is so comical that he made this vain woman who was into Maybelline and Max Factor and in Clairol. Jezebel was hooking herself up with all kinds of beauty aids. But God, who had predicted her demise, made the dogs eat her and poop her out like dog doo-doo. That's what God can do. So while her body was lying strewed out through Jezreel as dog doo-doo, her spirit and soul went somewhere. That's what we're going to cover tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't go where Jefferson Franklin claims it went. I'm going to prove to you that she went to hell. I'm going to give you all the Bible verses that show that when a wicked person dies, their spirit and soul goes to hell. It doesn't go to a church. Jezebel's spirit cannot be at Thyatira. It can't be in the city of Thyatira. Impossible. Because when a wicked person dies, they go to a place called hell. And when a righteous person dies, their soul and spirit goes to a place called heaven. And I'm going to show you that tomorrow. So when Jensen Franklin says, here is Jezebel's spirit, her spirit left her body, now it's a demonic spirit out there having little demon babies, listen, this guy is peddling a fantasy. He's peddling a fable. He's peddling a fairy tale, not founded on scripture. So what's the conclusion? The conclusion is sin is something very serious. Otherwise, it would not have driven our first parents from the garden or brought the curse upon all mankind and be threatened with everlasting banishment from the presence of the Lord. It was sin who caused all of the earth's woes and evils. So this is where we leave Jezebel. I want to leave you with this picture. There is Jezebel's body on the ground and her spirit's going up. We know what happened. We know what happened to our body. The dogs ate her body. We know what happened. We know what happened to her body. Tomorrow I'm going to show you what happened to her soul and spirit. And it's not what Jensen Franklin claims. It is not with Jensen Franklin. She did not have an upgrade. She did not go from wicked woman to wicked spirit. That did not happen. And this is why, again, we're taking our time to disprove everything that Jensen Franklin says, because the man is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous, and God's people have no business whatsoever listening to Mr. Jensen Franklin. No business whatsoever. None. Nobody should be listening. No one should be listening to Jensen Franklin. No one. No one should be sitting up in his church waiting to hear a sermon from Jensen Franklin. The man is dangerous. He is extremely, extremely dangerous. And so we'll leave it there. I'll be back tomorrow. Listen, saints, tell other people about the series. Tell them what we're doing here. Spread the word. Be a media missionary. Rescue others from this erroneous teacher and tell them where they can find us and tell them how they can get the outlines. Love you much in Jesus. I'm praying for you. You keep praying for me. God bless you.